Hey everyone, welcome to AV Insider. As always, I'm your host, Johnny Moda. That's the name of the show, which you can find on the Rave Radio Network at ravepubs.com. As always, I have a special guest. Actually, I have two special guests, and they can find out who is the most specialist, if you will, and I will announce them shortly. Or actually, you know what? Let's just do it now. First, I have, and I'm probably going to get their names and titles wrong, so I'll let them introduce themselves and correct me, because I'm always wrong, or more often than not wrong. First, I have Joey DeAngeler, who is the current VP of Design and Engineering at Utelligy. Joey, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And then I have Frank Pelkoffer. Hopefully I said your name correctly, sir. It's been a while since I've seen you. And last I checked, you were the lead Imagineer at the company.
Yep, you got my name right, and you got my role right. How you doing, Johnny?
Awesome. I'm well, sir. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Now, we just, well, not me, but the industry just had ISE, and I believe your company was there, correct?
Yeah, it was awesome. It's our second year attending ISE. Cool. And it's pretty exciting when I compare it to Infocom United States, in that there's a lot of pretty neat companies, smaller companies out of Europe, India, Arabian Peninsula, Middle East, that you wouldn't see here in the United States. And of course, the show attendance is, you know, I think it's double what they have here in the United States. And it's something like 700 million people that are within a 5-hour flight when you consider North Africa, Middle East, India, Russia, Eastern Europe, UK, Ireland. Yes, just well attended. And they do combine, you know, commercial and residential and building automation. So there's that factor too. But it's a huge show, and it's really kind of unbelievable. We enjoy it. A lot of traction too, so it was a good show for us.
I would love to hear everything and anything about what you showed there, but first I like to do a little segment called Better Know Your Guests. And since there are two of them today, let's start with Joey D, if you wouldn't, sir, or if you would. I love knowing about the company, but I love knowing more about the guests at the company and where they came from. So maybe this is your first job in AV tech ever, maybe you've had 100 jobs in this industry. I don't know. If you could share any of it, just give me a little bit of information on your background in AV and tech and how you got to where you are today.
Okay, cool. It's a really cool story, actually.
That's all the time we had today. Sorry. Next is Frank. I'm just kidding, Joey D. Please share. I didn't mean to interrupt
you. Yeah, it's no problem. So I grew up in Bakersfield, California. And that was your typical rural upbringing. In Bakersfield, everybody had, you know, it's like, hey, what kind of car do you drive, this and that. So car audio was a big thing in Bakersfield. It was right when you started seeing MOSFET amplifiers and CD players in cars. So I got into installing car stereo.
Cool.
And I ended up building car stereos out of my parents' garage and working at a shop. And before I knew it, I started doing this at 15, and by the time I was 22, I was 1996 IASCO world champion, and I was building demonstration vehicles for Consumer Electronics Show, and one car even got to the Tokyo Auto Show.
Sweet.
So when I got to that point, I was like, okay, hobby complete, and I finished my degree, and believe it or not, Ethan Salter, the son of Charles Salter, was actually in my same major at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. And I put a stereo in Ethan's car, and his father wanted to meet me. And I met Charlie, and he offered me a job when I graduated as a consultant at Charles Salter Associates. So I started working there in 1998, and I worked there until 2015. And then it was time to make a change. So I took a job at QSC, and I lasted there for about a year and a half. It was a great experience. I'm just a different kind of guy. I've always known Frank. Frank used to be an integrator. He built one of my biggest projects for Barclays Global Investors. And right around then he started Utelogy. And, you know, he'd always said, you know, Joey, come to work for me, come to work for me. And after my QSC experience, it was the perfect time. So I made the jump, and I'm very happy because I can really be myself. And do it.
Sweet. Thank you for sharing that. Frank, can you do the same with your background, please?
Yeah, sure. So, I built my first control system, Johnny, when I was, I think it was fifth grade.
Nice.
And I, my grandfather had passed away, and I had, inherited this like plastic, you know, he was not very well off. So, but he had some junk that he left us, and, you know, junk to some, but it was great to me. It was this little plastic fiber optic light that changed colors when you plugged it in, right? Okay. It looked like a little, like a shower, and, you know, it had, you know, three or four primary colors. And I thought, gosh, you know, it'd be sure neat to make a light show. So I asked my dad to take me down to the hardware store. We bought some plywood. We bought four or five light dimmers, you know, potentiometers, some light switches, some AC outlets, and I built this little box. You know, he really helped me a lot too. We plugged that light in and some others, and I was going to do a light show. And you're probably too young to remember cassette tapes, but
I had some
cassette
stuff.
Tape. Yeah, I had a cassette tape and the Beatles' Let It Be cassette. And I waited till dark, invited the neighbors over, my brother, my sister, my parents, out to the backyard. And I had, you know, one song and like a 3-minute, you know, those Beatles songs are short, light show. And it was the coolest thing ever. I wish I had that thing still, but that's kind of my first control thing. And then, you know, school and college and, you know, after I got out of college, I was doing pro audio systems out of a music store up here in Sonoma County, at Zone Music. You probably know them.
Mm-hmm.
And, so they have an installed division and then a friend of mine who worked at WBE called me up and said, "Hey Frank, you know, we're thinking about starting an AV division and wondering if you could come and help me get it going." And I thought that would be great. They were doing bigger commercial projects instead of, you know, churches and schools and stuff. So I was all for that. And that's where I met your dad, actually, because
Nice.
He was a project manager there and did that for a couple of years and then cut out on my own and, you know, earned the right to do a bunch of Joey's projects and, you know, other projects around the Bay Area. And in that time, it was, you know, video conferencing was just getting a foothold. The big players were Tandberg and Polycom. And Tandberg had this awesome platform called TMS, and even Cisco's post-acquisition still refers to that software as TMS, and it's awesome. You can look at your global network. You can understand jitter, packet loss, things of that nature. You can push firmware updates. But TMS could not, and still to this day does not, control any of the devices in a room, right? Any of the AV devices. So you have this awesome enterprise global video conferencing platform that manages infrastructure and endpoints, but you still had to go buy a traditional AV control system for that. And it just struck me as totally inefficient. And, you know, so as a way to bring new value to the industry, I went to my partner, Scott, in this Utelogy. He was on the software team for the space shuttle program, and he knew nothing about AV, but he knew a lot about enterprise software. And I said, you know, Scott, it'd be really neat if we could create a control platform that gave us the enterprise capabilities of a TMS, but also delivered the fundamental control stuff that we would get in a traditional control system. And that's kind of where it started. So when the Great Recession hit, I sold my AV business to the team that I had built. and dove full-time into utility, because I refer to the Great Recession as the great inflection point. If you remember, all those big projects, all those real estate projects came to a grinding halt in, you know, 2008, 2009. And enough time had gone under the bridge that it was a way for these companies couldn't continue on with their regular refresh cycles. So a couple, 3 years went by, and they found themselves 2 or 3 years behind in their refresh and totally open to looking at new systems. Particularly the IT departments kind of took over at that point AV. You know, we used to report a lot to facilities managers, and a lot of those people got laid off and IT took over. So we gave them a new way of looking at, to them, was an AV problem. So we came up with an IT solution for the AV problem. That's my story, Johnny. I'm sticking to it.
It's a good story. And if you think I was joking about still having some tapes, I can tell you the very first cassette tape that I remember owning was a 1987 Def Leppard's Hysteria album.
Nice.
I nonstop would play Pour Some Sugar on Me. Don't know why, but that was my jam back then. And let's see what else. And then in your story, you met my father at WBE, and then I met you, I don't remember what year this was, 2009, 10 maybe, at the Santa Rosa Junior College, where I got blown away by the idea of software-based automation. And
that's right.
I couldn't quite really believe it. And I remember asking questions. You're like, no, there's just little drop-down menus, and you just have this, and you have your global caches, and then, you know, kind of just pick and choose what you want to do. And I was like, unbelievable.
Yeah, well, we still run into that in the AV industry, but the IT guys, they get it. And it's funny. It's they know how to sell enterprise applications to enterprises. They get it. The IT, you know, VAR channel, if you will. But they do struggle, Johnny, with AV. I mean, there's an art to AV that you cannot learn about in a book. You'll never learn by reading the difference between echo and feedback, or what happens when you compress something too much in audio, or how 60 cycle hum presents itself in a video system or an audio system. You have to be in the field and experience that a few times before you start to understand it. So there's an art to AV, and I want to tell you something right now. We are here. Tell me this. Have you ever done a project, commercial projects in particular, and the AV department of the client, they didn't really want much to do with the AV. They weren't very helpful. You're going to put what on my network? But by golly, when that project got turned over and it's opening day and everyone's moving into the new facility, those IT people are out there in the lobby showing off the AV. And it's like, well, where was this enthusiasm for the AV when we were building this thing?
Every time. Every time.
Yeah. And we've been treated as an industry kind of like, you know, this stepchild. They love the sexiness of the AV, but they don't want anything to do with it when it's planning and stuff. And I'm generalizing, of course, but we want to put AV in its rightful spot as a specialty in the IT space. And Frank, I think AV is the crown jewel of IT, because it brings all those ones and zeros to it's the analog interface of reality. That's what AV is. And so with our platform and what, you know, one of the missions we're on is to make it so that IT folks can totally understand what we do, because we're not any different than spinning up an Exchange server or an enterprise application or your call manager. You know, it lives in the data center. You provision your server, you configure your phone or your conference room or your classroom, and it's now just a system. You plug your devices in and the network knows they're there, and so we do, you know, that's what we're about. Sorry to evangelize a little bit there.
No, it's the show isn't about me. It's about you guys. So I'm all ears. Give me a basic, what would say is like the basic concept of Utelligy on any project, right? Everyone's different, right? They're not all the same. But kind of give me a rundown of like, you know, how Utelligy works on any given project, if you will. I mean, you kind of just did.
Yeah. Well, you know, so AV traditionally is a room or a bunch of rooms, and they get, you know, deployed. And if you get more than a few rooms, it's a good idea to have a management, you know, system to, you know, keep them all managed. And there's a bunch of good ones out there. You know, they're all good. But the AV industry goes from the room, and then once you get enough rooms, they're like, this needs to be managed. And then you scramble to try to get a management system deployed to those rooms. Utelligy takes the opposite approach. We presume you're going to have to manage these rooms. And so we start with that. You deploy our management system, and then you add rooms on. And a room to us is a system, and a bunch of rooms is a system of systems. And you take that system of systems and treat them as an aggregated enterprise system, the AV systems. And once you have that in place, we can deliver all kinds of new value. And what is that? Services. Help desk services, UNOC services, personalization services, multi-language services. And all of these things are only, you can only deploy them if you've got a good enterprise platform in place. So it starts in the data center with an enterprise platform, and it moves out to the rooms. So it's the opposite approach.
So would you say that Utelligy, aside the major difference you just explained versus being a bunch of boxes that are, you know, essentially unmanaged at a simple level and then being larger scale, starting to become more managed, you are software driven to where you have the management system and working, I don't want to say like middle out, but that's kind of the way I'm seeing it. And then adding on is you're a very scalable system, right? You can start from
highly scalable.
Right. So you're a management system that is a control system, if you will, and managing. It's a little bit of everything. It is highly scalable, and it's not like you have to start with a base package, right? I mean, there's a base set of software, right, that you can deploy with, I would say, tiny bits of hardware here and there that you work with, one of them being Global Cache, correct?
Yep.
And then from there, I mean, do you have other manufacturers that you partner with or that are partnering with you to use your software?
Lots and lots of manufacturers are partnering with us, and we work with anybody's system. So, you know, even, you know, with the legacy, you know, old school equipment control system manufacturers, we've had, you know, certified programmers in the various, you know, the various manufacturers create essentially drivers so that our solution can work with, you know, a legacy system. You know, as you know, and IT folks quickly kind of figure out you don't really need those systems, but, you know, some of them love them, and you know, so yeah, we'll work with anybody. And we do have manufacturers and more all the time, and frankly, bigger and bigger manufacturers coming to us and wanting to integrate. So kind of like you'd see Intel inside, there's several out there that have Utelligy inside.
Nice.
One of the most recent ones I'd say is Wolf Vision, and they've got their new Sign app, which is super killer. Device. It allows, I think it's a couple dozen wireless connections. It's perfect for classrooms. So students can all connect to it wirelessly, and it has a whole bunch of features, but the remote wireless video up to your display is probably one of the key features in enabling an entire classroom of kids to connect their devices up to it and to support, you know, a couple dozen, may even be up 30, 32 connections. I don't know exactly. That's really a cool thing. And of course they didn't have an ability to control all the other things in a classroom, document cameras, you know, multiple projectors, things like that. So we enabled that, but then we also are able to deliver our services through that. So it's the Sign app, and you can buy the Sign app. You can then click the box and get a Utility license for that room. And now that room is totally controlled through the Sign app, and that Sign app and the entire room is sitting as a system on the network. Yeah, so things like that we're doing all the time.
Awesome. Now, tell me a little bit what you showed at ISC, or what were you demonstrating there?
You want to take this, Joey?
You know, ISC was such such a busy and a grand experience for all of us at Utility, because we were doing a couple of things. We had a lot of business to take care of, and there were a lot of manufacturers that wanted to meet with us, and a lot of end users that wanted to meet with us. So we were constantly demoing software and, you know, having discussions with various manufacturers. But the big deal at the show for us is we were demonstrating 2.0, which is the latest release of Utility. And it's a major departure from previous versions of the software. I would say, to me as an AV guy at heart, it's a big deal, because Utility is a great software platform, and it was created by Scott McGarrigle. But when Scott created it, he wasn't an AV guy. Now Scott's been at this for a decade, and 2.0 was sort of a fresh start. And in that fresh start, he incorporated everything that he learned in doing control software and management software for the AV industry in this new 2.0 release. And it's just an incredible step forward, and it's built on a foundation that allows us to go out and add new capabilities and features to the software platform that are really going to blow people's minds in the years to come.
Awesome. And now, since this is the second ISC that Utility's attended, what would you say the turnout was for you? And I know you weren't there last year, Joey, but in general, do you guys have information on how your company was received this year as opposed to last year?
Go ahead, Frank.
Well, we won 2 awards, and that was really awesome for us.
2? That's it? I'm just kidding.
Well, for us, it's awesome. we won AV Nation's award. They gave out, I think it was 4 or 5 awards. It was kind of a weird name. It was called the Save My Bacon Award. And I'm all, Tim, you know, Tim Albright, who runs AV Nation. And I, what does that mean? He's all, well, it was Reader's Choice Awards. So, you know, kind of a no fee, kind of like what you guys do at Rave. So there's an element of true agnostic authenticity associated with the award. But the Save My Bacon Award was from end users who, I guess, you know, wrote in their story of how Utility really made their job easier. I wish they called it This Made My Job Easier Award. But nonetheless, that was a good honor for us and very validating, because it came from end users who had to take the time to nominate us. And then once we got nominated, and we got nominated in 3 categories, but one came out and they were all talking about, you know, how Utility, you know, helped them in their jobs, save them money, save them time, introduce new value. And then the other was from AV Technology Magazine, which is an end user magazine. And we won Best of Show there. So that was really good. The other thing that was super interesting to me, you know, we had, I don't know, 6 or 7 major Silicon Valley corporations. And you'd see them all at Infocom, but they came by our booth en masse. And what they came by with is their U.S., you know, folks plus their, I forget the acronym, Joe, you can help me, Europe, Asia, Middle East groups. Yeah, so basically the big companies, you know, the Fortune 500s, they all have global groups. And the global groups all went to ISE, whereas they don't always all come to Infocom in the States. So we had, you know, a lot of demos and a lot of commitments to do proof of concepts and initial projects with those companies. So that was, for us, very big. And as you probably know, a lot of American companies actually host a significant part of their IT operations in Ireland. And I didn't realize the extent of that, but, you know, big companies whose names you'd recognize and their IT departments, you know, all came to visit us from Ireland. So that was pretty good considering we don't have a very, you know, big marketing effort associated pre-Infocom. So they all knew about us and they sought us out, little old us. So that was real good. And I would say the booth that we were in, we shared a booth with Global Cache. Cool. They gave us a corner of their booth because ISE has been sold out the last 2 years. It's an 80 company waiting list just to get in the show. So I think next year they assure us we should be able to get in for sure next year and we won't have to share a booth. But it was a steady stream of people that were seeking us out. So it was good. It was really good.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Plus it's Amsterdam.
Right.
Frank made a really interesting point just now. He was talking about, you know, how we had these major Silicon Valley and global companies come to the booth. We were in Hall 9, which is, I mean, every hall at ISE is a big schlep, but to get to Hall 9, you had to make a concerted effort to get there. And we had these major companies come through, and it was so cool to see them and talk to them about this and see that they were interested. And, you know, Frank said, you know, we don't have, you know, a big, huge marketing department or anything like that. And it makes me proud to see interest from these big companies without all the marketing hoopla. But what is really cool about Utelligy is they have a really big software development department because that's what it's all about. It's all about engineering software, you know, creating new APIs and interfacing with other stuff and adding more functionality and features to the platform. And it's really worth noting that Utelligy is really a software company. They don't have manufacturing or assembly lines. They don't have to, you know, package up pallets of stuff. They don't have to have a shipping and receiving department or a technical services department to repair a product and all that. It's just, they've got some really extremely talented software developers that work as a team with Scott's guidance, and they're making the platform better and better every single day. They're not, you know, making the same thing over and over again like a hardware manufacturer. They're taking something that's made and they're making it better so that when 2.1 comes out or 2.2, you know, if you bought Utelligy at version 1.4 and you own it, you're going to get all the new features that come out when 2.0 comes released and then 2.1 and so forth. So you own your control system forever and you own your management system forever. And you're going to find that you also will own other systems in the future. LG has their sights on some really amazing capabilities.
Where do you guys see the future of the company going? I mean, you've just launched 2.0, right? I mean, I wouldn't expect 2.1.3 to launch tomorrow. But moving forward, what would you hope for the company to be at? Frank, you start if you could, and then Joey, if you could add to that, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, it's hard. I don't want this to sound like hubris. But the potential is certainly there. the potential is there to really change the industry, and time will tell. But we are software defined AV, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can do some things in the audio realm right now. For instance, for the Ohio State University system, they do a lot of push to talk. They reach out from Bowling Green, Toledo, Ohio State, Cleveland State into community colleges. And those rooms have all push to talk microphones. And my founding partner, Scott, was sitting there looking at these $10,000 boxes from a couple of big manufacturers. They take 16 microphone inputs with XLR4s. The fourth pin allows for you to push, you know, and the far side can see that you requested to talk. They gave you permission to talk. You can talk. You get it. It's a $10,000 box, and it's about $10,000 to configure it. Most of these classrooms require two boxes. You're talking about $30,000 to $40,000 of additional expense for push-to-talk in these rooms. And my partner goes, well, gosh darn it, that's just software that's making that happen. And I could buy a $300 panel, you know, with 32 XLR4 females and create the same thing. We attach that to a, you know, a $75 global cache, which enables contact closure to be read, you know, by IP, so I can connect those microphones to the network. And so everybody on the planet that has the Utelligy license suddenly had all the push to talk they can consume at no extra charge. Well, if we can do that, we can do audio. We can deliver, you know, at least some, you know, fairly standard audio processing, if you will, particularly audio configuration. We're very much looking forward to being able to do video over IP. And of course, every browser has, you know, MPEG-4 built into it. So that's pretty easy. JPEG 2000 is still a little difficult, but doable. You can look to Utelligy to, you know, do full audio, video, and control. We've pretty much mastered control at this point. And then, of course, just building out the platform. So today, I can walk into a room in Beijing and authenticate, and the user interface will show up in character for me. And you can walk in Mandarin, you know, character, and you can walk into that same room and authenticate, and it'll show up in English for you, but it'll be profile based. So I'm allowed to use certain assets and you're not allowed to use certain assets. We could both be authenticated in the same room with our device, and the room knows it's us because you can do different kinds of authentication, whether it's key card, username and password, leveraging ping technology. We don't care, all that. And we're doing all that today. And we call that U-access, personalization. We want to take the idea of personalization to a whole new level. So you can look to us to grow on all of those things. And really, we want to take the expensive stuff out of the boxes, which is the software that's making those things happen. And it's not all software. There's boards and in those boxes, but a lot of that can be delivered as software, and we fully intend to do it. Because when we can commoditize the true commodities in those spaces, those metal boxes, and take the value and call it what it is. Here's your value, here's your commodity. Let's not try to sell a $3,000 box when its commoditized value is $800. IT departments, and particularly directors of IT, CIOs, they understand and they're perfectly willing to pay for the value. And when you have a solutions conversation centered around value that's addressing a pain, right? Find pain, heal pain, and price is not part of the conversation. We can bring margins back to our industry instead of being a race to the bottom in price wars. Let's make it a race to the top for value that's appreciated by the customer, that's recognized by the channel partner, the AV integrator, and it's a win-win-win all the way around. And that's what we're here to do.
Now, Joey, where would you like, since you're the new hire, if you will, at Utelligy, where would you like to help shape, grow, move Utelligy forward from here?
Cool. I've kind of been rooting for Utelligy for years. I used them in my last two projects as a consultant at Salter, and it worked wonderfully. I did a project for BCCI Construction in San Francisco, and I did a big building for Lawrence Berkeley Labs in Berkeley. And both of them went really well. But back in 2011, it took me till 2011 to really figure out what Utelligy was. And once I figured out what it had the capability of becoming, it hit me like a ton of bricks, because I was sitting in this room in this campus in the Silicon Valley that I just designed. It was 350 conference rooms, and we had 96 control processors. And each of those control processors had a power and a data connection, and that was it. There was no RS-232, no IR, no contact. We just didn't spec anything out if it couldn't be controlled via IP. The whole campus that way. And I realized, holy shit, I just bought 96 of these, $1,800 control processors when I could have done this whole thing with the server in a failover. So that's when it hit me. Then I started thinking, oh man, what could Utelligy become? And to this day, I think it has the ability to become everything in between. And when I say that, I mean, like, the AV industry is always going to have its gazentas and its gazelles. And the gazentas will be microphones, video encoding, laptop inputs, stuff like that. And the gazelles are going to be speakers and displays, basically. So Utelligy, being that it's just a server-based or a cloud-based or whatever the buzzword you want to call it that month is, it's just a collection of a ton of processing power, virtually unlimited processing power if you really leverage the cloud, and a ton of memory and storage, virtually unlimited if you leverage the cloud on that. So I think that the platform itself, if it keeps growing the way it does and we keep getting these really good software developers, I think it has the ability to become everything in between. And then the gazintas and gazouches will just be commodities.
Now,
yeah, I'll tell you, Johnny, for us having Joey join us, he's an ideas man. And there is no shortage of ideas coming out of that guy's brain. And he understood the power of AV over IP, and he did really the world's first significant SVSI deployment, he saw what the possibility was. So we're just super excited to have him on the team and let him do his thing. He'll help integrators and customers and consultants, design around this kind of a platform. But he's also going to contribute in a big way, just different kinds of features that we don't even know about yet, or ingest feature ideas from partners and customers and help, with our product management team, figure out what that needs to look like and how it would fit into the platform. So we're pretty lucky to get Joey on our team. That's considered a big win on our part.
I think it's a big win for everybody, and it's exciting to see you guys move forward and see you grow since your infancy stage, Frank.
It's interesting to me, going from a consultant and going through 18 years and 500 or so projects worth of work, and you see manufacturers roll out these new products. One manufacturer will be the first to market with you know, product that does X, Y, and Z. And then if it's really cutting edge and ahead of this, ahead of the pack, it'll take other manufacturers 2, 4, 5 years to come up with something that's equivalent or better. So when you look at Utelligy, they've been doing this since like 2008. So it's, I feel like it's going to be very hard for a lot of the other manufacturers to build something else that has ability on their first shot. Now, they're, all the other manufacturers, I know that they have their eyes on this, and I know that they have some great stuff in the pipes, as only our beloved AV industry can deliver. You know, there's a lot of great stuff out there, and a lot of great people doing great things. But Utelligy is this lead that I think it's going to be very difficult to match it, especially about new and cool ideas and better features. And we keep working with integrators and designers to, you know, teach them how to design using Utelligy and how to design in this era of new value. Frank's going to work with integrators to teach them how to transition, how they make money from selling hardware over and over and over again to selling software with recurring revenue. And, you know, it's we've got a lot of work to do, but there's no shortage of opportunities. We've got a lead to maintain.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, we still have all of our customers, even, you know, you said, you saw it at Santa Rosa Junior College. And yes, that's been 10 years now, and we're still the platform. We're in every classroom on all 5 of their campuses. And it's robust and growing, and they're getting ready to refresh to 2.0. All the flooding that's been going on in Sonoma County in the last couple weeks, and all being managed at the Sonoma County Office of Emergency Services, their Emergency Operations Center. They've had us now for 6 or 7 years. So, you know, when they need a video feed from the helicopter Henry One, you know, that's Utelligy, you know, grabbing that feed and delivering it to where it needs to be. We've been in these customers now for, you know, 5, 7, 10 years, and the system, the platform is just super stable. We don't have, you know, stability issues. That's the good news. And so we're pretty happy with the place we have in the market, you know, in that regard. It's funny, it makes me think, you know, sometimes you see these memes, you know, oh, a company's getting some success and it seems like, you know, it was overnight. And I still have people, I've never heard of Utelligy, right? You know, all the time. And, but yeah, we've got 10 years of doing this and hundreds of customers and tens of thousands of rooms now under our belt. So we got a pretty good leap ahead of the rest of the industry. But you know what? Here's a big difference in our company. We're not here to lock anybody out. We're friends with everyone. And you can name the manufacturer that you might even think we'd be competitors with, but we don't look at it that way. Customer A loves their Crestron. Good. We love Crestron too. They're a good company and they're good people. Customer B loves their AMX. Guess what? We love AMX too. Extra, Kramer, Atlona. We don't care because we're friends with everyone. We want the customer to ultimately get what's the best thing for them. And we deliver our management platform and our control. And frankly, you don't even need our control. We do control because, you know, a lot of customers, you know, want something different, but even the Touch 10, you know, Cisco's a partner of ours. They invited us into their solution partner program. And so we can deliver our solution through the Cisco Touch 10. yeah, so we're pretty excited by all that. We're friends with everyone. We don't consider anyone a competitor at best. You know, a cooperative, friendly competition, but you know, we'll work with anybody, any manufacturer, to make sure that the customer has a solution that's best for them. So, I think that's a key difference about what where we're coming from.
Is there anything that you want to say to the viewers, aside from your message being different and how you're different and you've been here for a while, is there anything that we've missed about Utility that we haven't said yet?
My thing is really easy. Stop buying little amounts of processing, little amounts of memory, and just put it all on a server. And then treat your gazintas and gazoutas as, you know, an important part of the system, but just the commodity. Start looking at the new value.
Okay. Frank, anything from you?
you know, learn networking is probably learn the data center. You know, that would be my big message, you know, for the AV industry. You know, outside of that, you know, just hello to everyone out there. You know, everyone I've ever met in AV, I just love to death, and I've made some great friends in this business, you know, we're changing a paradigm, and we're going to do it with everyone, not being against everyone. That's our main message.
Perfect. So for anyone out there that wants to learn more about Utility, maybe you're interested in becoming a dealer, you are curious in learning more about how the software works, how they are different, we haven't explained it well enough, the first place I would suggest to go is to Utility.com, which is Utelogy.com, Utility.com. You can call the good people there at 1-877-87-UNIFY, or that is 877-878-6439. If you're more of a social person like myself and you want to speak in 140 characters or less because, I don't know, you're on the go and that's your thing, head over to Twitter and it's going to be at Utility. They're also on YouTube. If you're more of a visual person and you want to get some hands-on knowledge through videos, man, do it. They're also, of course, on LinkedIn and Facebook. Check them out. It's Utility, again, at Utility.com. You guys, if anyone is out there curious about dealers, becoming a dealer, or just wants to contact you guys, is there any better way than the ways I've just described?
Those are perfect ways, Johnny. Yep. And on our website, right there, as you land on our homepage, there's a 3.5-minute video with an infographic and a narration that gives a really good, concise overview of our platform. That's a great place to start. And you can email me at frank.pelkofer, P-E-L-L-K-O-F as in Frank, E-R, at utility.com. And, you know, we're a pretty flat organization, and I may have the title CEO, but my role is to evangelize and help people understand what we're about. So feel free to email me directly. Not a problem at all. And thanks for having us, Johnny.
Yeah. Thank you both for your time today. And knowledge, of course, I do appreciate it. I understand that you're both very busy people. So thank you for that. And as Utility 3.0 evolves, I'd love to have you guys back and talk about that in the future.
We'd love that.
Maybe
thank you, my friend.
4.6 or something like that.
Yeah, 2.4.6. Okay, we don't have to jump all the way to 3, but you know how software evolves. In the next iterations, if you will. I'd love to have you guys back and talk more. So thank you both again for your time. I do appreciate it. Everyone out there, again, if you have any questions for me, it's going to be direct emails, Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y-M-O-T-A, the number 3. That's JohnnyMota3@gmail.com. On Twitter, should that still exist tomorrow, it's at JMota3. I'm on Facebook, Instagram is the same as before, at JMota3. I don't know, some other ones, probably like Friendster or MySpace. Those are still things, right? I don't know. I'm out there somewhere. Just say hi. Everyone, this has been AV Insider. Thank you for listening.